that song, so thankful for the love of God, we are a people that certainly should be thankful.
Amen.
And the love of God, I believe, is supposed to show from us to this world. How many would believe that it's the desire of God for the world to see his goodness through us?
Yes.
That's what we're chosen for. And I wanna teach to you tonight from the Word of God and from my heart on sharing our goodness with the Lord. Teaching truth has power to liberate both parties. As we teach the Word of God, not only do we bring liberation into that life that we are giving the spoken word of to, but yet in our life, the goodness of God flows in, and there are some things that we can overcome and that we can forget, and all of a sudden this peace of God is ushered into our life simply because we are teaching truth to somebody else. If you would stand with me tonight, I just want to read one short portion of Scripture. For those of you who have sat in my living room through one of my Bible studies, you have heard me use this term in lesson one. We've probably heard it here before as well. Genesis, the first chapter, verses 3-4. Thank you for this opportunity, Pastor. I consider it an honor and a privilege to be able to teach the Word of God to these people, our people, God's people. And thank you for allowing me to teach to you. Verse 3 says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." The spoken word, God spoke it, and there it was. There was something that took place because God spoke. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Pray with me, would you please? Lift your voices to God. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the sure foundation it gives us to stand on, Lord. Oh, I just want to praise you, oh God, for everything that you have ushered into the lives of your children. The promises, Lord, everything that your word offers us. And Lord, right now, I pray that you would touch these next moments, open our understanding, our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So the phrase I make after I read this portion of Scripture in my home Bible studies, and we talk about light from darkness that first day, and I make the point that it was God's agenda from the very beginning. It was his priority to separate light from darkness. And in the year 2021 and beyond, as the Lord our God tarries, I believe it is still his priority to call the lost out of darkness into his light. And he has the church to do that. That is our commission. Amen. False teachings have been around since one third of the angels were cast out of heaven. Satan has been trying to trip up God's operation since Adam and Eve in the garden. But our Savior has been light year steps ahead of the ruler of darkness from the very beginning. The God we serve. I want you to go with me just for a moment to Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. And I just want to share something with you. This is a very special portion of scripture for me. Isaiah 42, verses 6 through 10. I stand before you tonight and tell you that on the 29th of August in 1996, God arrested my attention and changed my life. And while he showed me things and allowed for me to see visions and see things, he spoke Isaiah 42, 6 to 10. And back that time in the world, I didn't even know Isaiah 42, 6 through 10 existed. I didn't know if there was a 42nd chapter to the book of Isaiah. But it was that day that God arrested my attention and revealed himself to me. And he said, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Now we know who he's speaking about here. To open blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass. And new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all the inhabitants thereof are therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Verse 11, let the wilderness and the cities therefore lift up their voices, the villages of Kedar, that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rock sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. The Lord reminded me today in study time about these scriptures, And when the Lord gave me these scriptures 25 years ago, he was calling me to teach the Word of God and bring his light to people. And bring those who sit in darkness, those who sit in the prison houses, and those who sit in darkness outside the prison walls. Sounds like separating light from darkness to me. And as I prepared to teach on winning the lost, he reminded me of these scriptures. And verse 11, it says, let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the tops of the mountains. But further back, it says, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voices, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. There's a little nugget in here. Kedar means dark. And those that sing, the inhabitants of the rock sing, that rock is a stronghold of Jehovah. And hidden in the scripture is for the children of God to sing his praises out loud to that place that darkness or Kedar inhibits. And he'll release. And he'll set free. And that's what Jesus did as he walked the face of this earth. Think of all the things that he delivered people from. And on this day, when the Lord arrested my attention, he showed me things that were to come in my life. I shared this with the pastor, right down to this very sanctuary with the four rows of pews and the balcony. I had never seen this place in my life. But when I walked in here for the first time, I realized. And he said in these scriptures, former things shall come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And I'm just sharing that to share with you that there has been something placed inside my heart to want to bring the light of God and the truth of God to the people that sit in darkness in this world. But I believe that I'm not the only one who sits within these four walls that feels the same way. So his agenda was to separate light from darkness, his priority from the start. And he has equipped us and allowed for his face or his light to show through us into the lives of others. Let's go to Matthew, the second chapter. While you're turning there, as the Lord spoke to me that day and showed me those things, he was telling me, as a matter of fact, it was like he was sitting in the front seat of that 72 Oldsmobile Cutlass I was driving, and he was smiling, and he was telling me of the things he was going to eradicate from my life, but he reminded me over and over to tell people about my goodness, share my goodness with them. And he reminded me today of this time 25 years ago when he was speaking to me. And I can stand before you tonight and tell you it's still a burden of mine to see the light come on in the eyes and in the minds of others. We have a couple people sitting in our living room now on a Thursday night, and I see the lights going on, and it's so awesome. It's so awesome to teach the Word of God and see people, because I remember what the Word of God did for me and the change it made in my life, and my gosh, where I was 25 years ago, I have a reason to be thankful. Amen. Matthew, the second chapter. We are going to see here how the enemy is trying to destroy truth, which had come in flesh to Joseph and Mary. And we saw way back when the Lord brought judgment forth in the garden, he let Satan know that there would be enmity or hatred between his seed and the seed of the woman. And he told us way back then that there was deliverance coming, and it came through the seed of a woman. And we see here as Jesus is about to spring forth on the scene that the enemy's trying to take it away, destroy it, stomp it out. Matthew 2 and verse 12, it says, "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." I I'm sorry, let's go back to 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The enemy wanted to know where the child was in the form of a king so that he could destroy it, because he felt threatened. His kingship was threatened. And the enemies, the kings of this world, want nothing more than to stomp out and destroy the word of God and the church of God and the work of God. But in the 12th verse, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they parted into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Herod wanted to destroy the work of God, or the child of God, and the progressing of the kingdom. But God was light years ahead and sent a word in a dream to Joseph to take the child and go. And fleeing there, he was delivered from a death sentence at that time. He knew what he had to do later to fulfill what he came for, but the kingdom was preserved because they listened. And here's what I want you to see. Verse 13, it says, and when he departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. How did they get the direction and the instruction to leave the place of doom? The word was delivered unto them. They received word, and they obeyed the instruction, and they went to where the instruction told them to go. They went to Egypt. I pose the question to this congregation tonight and ask you this. Here is an application that I would present that says, how many people right now does the Lord have placed in Egypt that are waiting for the word to come to them? The way of escape, the way to go for peace and rest in their lives, the comfort that Scripture talks about. Think back to Joseph in Old Testament times when he was set before to go to Egypt. and make provisions for the nation of Israel to come. And then Jacob was called Israel, and Scripture refers to him as the son. And then out of Egypt did he call his son. Out of Egypt did he call and send word to deliver. That's where I was when the word came to me. I was in a place doomed. And the word came to me and said, no, this is where you should go. And that is what the Lord has given you and I in his word. The power of spoken truth liberates those who hear and at the same time can bring deliverance and liberation into our lives from the trials and the things that we face. Out of Egypt have I called my son. Let's jump ahead to Matthew, the 28th chapter. We know it as the Great Commission, the Great Commission, Jesus and us. We see the enemy trying to discredit the truth of what really happened. You see, the passion, they call it the passion of Christ. It was his love for his people, his creation, that he endured the cross for you and I. But the enemy wanted to cross it out and defeat it on through the generations. And we see in starting in verse 11, it says, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch, these are the soldiers that were there when Jesus resurrected. They were supposed to be watching over the tomb. But we know that they couldn't stop what God Almighty had planned. When they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, look at this, they gave large money unto the soldiers. Isn't it amazing what man will do and how their integrity will change because of money? Some men, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. You'll be covered. We'll take care of this. Verse 15. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. They obeyed what they were taught. Lies, falsities of what really happened, and what they were doing is like the world is doing today. They look at the Word of God and they say, no, that's man's book. That was all manipulated by man. That's not what the Lord says. We know better. So for a little bit of money, really in the big picture, they were willing to swallow the bait, and to this day it is known that that's what they repeated. They simply repeated what they were taught. There's a lot of people being taught a lot of things that discredit the truth of God, and they are falsely secured into thinking that they've captured eternal life, are in the good graces of God, and they are a part of the truth, when really they've been deceived. But it's what they were taught. They did what they were taught. But look what happened to the 11 when they followed. the instruction of Jesus. Verse 16 says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Followed the instruction and direction of the Lord. And look at what happened. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. That's not mistakenly there, because I've been walking with the Lord for 25 years, and I will admit to you, there's times that doubt enters into this mind. Anybody else? How's this? How are we going to handle this one? How are you going to? Oh, now this is terrible. Some doubted, and Jesus came and spake unto them. Wow. The word delivered by the one who was the word, robed in flesh. The word came to them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And then here's our commission. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. Teaching the spoken word. And the spoken word, the truth of God, has authority. That you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and it will be removed. That's the authority. The same authority that spoke back in Genesis, the first chapter, and separated light from darkness, is the same spoken word that leaves these vessels and with the authority of the Lord does not return unto him void. It always accomplishes what he intends for it to accomplish. We are simply the vessel it flows from. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe, to keep their eyes on, to give full attention to, not to waver, but observe what I have said and taught. And lo, I am with you alway. That's an interesting word. That word alway means tame and gentle, but in darkness and in light all the day long. When it gets dark, he's there. When you're on the mountaintop, he's there. When you're in the valley, he's there. Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. 24 hours a day, even when it gets the darkest, he's there. So whenever and wherever life takes us, he is there with us, and his power dwells in us and gives us the authority, like he promised us in Acts 1 and 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you and be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts. His power and authority is with us. Amen. Always. And so, speaking the word, just please remember, it's going forth with his authority. Now, I think we were in this scripture before the service started tonight, Ephesians, the fourth chapter. After Paul instructs to walk worthy of the call with meekness, forbearing one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bondage of peace, so important. starting in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature, of fullness, of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. First part of 15, but speaking truth in love. Notice verse 14, Paul's warning us about, you know what, there's going to be false teaching. There's going to be those that lie in wait to deceive. But what overcomes that? But speaking truth in love may grow up in all things, which is grow up in Christ in all things, which is Christ, are the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body. Did you see that? Every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Every part. So watch. We edify one another. We encourage one another. But we also edify the body or do things to help the body strengthen and grow. And how does the body grow? By bringing those who sit in darkness into his light. Allow for them to hear this truth. The body's edified one to another. The body's edified or grows stronger and larger because of taking that word to those God has placed in very precision-like areas, waiting for the word to be delivered unto them. Edifying itself in love. Every part involved, making increase of the body, that is twofold. 2 Timothy 4, if you would. Verses 1 through 5. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, how? With long suffering and doctrine, truth, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from truth and shall be turned unto fables. The false teachings are going to be there. The false truths are going to go forth. And people like Pastor Portman preached that want to take the easy road. Oh, that sounds like something I could do. But verse 5 says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. You know what? That's one of the things the Lord gave. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists. Listen, going out and speaking of the goodness of the Lord, we are evangelizing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a commission to the church body. Make full proof of thy ministry. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. To whom much is given, much is expected. And sometimes it's hard for us to step outside of our comfort zone. But every part, no matter how little or how big or what we feel our place is, every part of the body has a commission to shine light into darkness. In all we do for Him, we must do it in love. We live in an angry and bitter world. People are fighting about masks and not masks and shots and no shots and travel and don't travel, and grown-ups are acting like spoiled children. And it's not that there's not good things happening in this world, but what we have to look at is if there is ever a time for the church to shine and for the love of Christ to be ushered into the lives of others, the world has set the stage for the church to shine its light and show the peace, show the comfort and the goodness and the calm of God. The same calm and goodness that was ushered into our lives. It hasn't changed. It still works. It's still changing lives and minds and hearts. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Matthew 22, verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything the prophets foretold and prophesied about, everything that we see that happened in the Old Testament times, and even as Jesus walked the face of the earth, it's a love issue. And if we get the love thing right, all the other things, like Jesus said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. Love thy neighbor as thyself. If you love someone, you are certainly willing to do something for them that will enrich and enhance their lives. And I can't think of anything that you and I could do for our neighbor greater than share the word of God with them, which will enhance and enrich their lives, not only here, but for eternity, folks. That's a big deal. But the enemy has used bitterness to try to separate people. And we heard it from our pastor tonight, the importance of unity and how they can't get along in the wilderness, but you bring them into this place and all of a sudden. And so this bitterness that the enemy is using as a tool in these end times is something that if the church isn't careful, it can creep into the church as well. And all of a sudden we're offended about this is what you should do and that's what you should do. And well, I feel we should. And that's just a ploy that was trying to stamp out the child. Way back in the book of Matthew, it's the false truth that went forth to Eve in the garden. Did God's word really say? Is that really what he said? It's always been a love issue, but the enemy wants to use bitterness to divide and destroy and stomp out. But the love of God will always prevail. Now, I just want to share in closing tonight an application for you. This is not an end time revelation. This is an end days application found in the 8th chapter of the book of Revelations. Something caught my attention as I read these scriptures. We certainly have seen meteors and things falling from heaven. We've seen things happening in this world that the Bible talks about over and over in the end times. And we're seeing it play out before our eyes, so we certainly shouldn't be shocked. Because Scripture foretold us what would happen. But just remember, on all this stuff, it's a love issue. So right up to the end, just like the Lord said on Calvary, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Love proclaimed and going forth even in that situation. And so in the end times, if there's ever a place that the love of God should be emanating from, it's the body of Christ. Revelations 8, verse 10 says, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of that star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, or bitter. And many men died of waters because they were made bitter. Now, I will confess to you, I have no idea when any of this will happen. I know years ago there was a man who taught end times, a very well-respected man, and there was a time when it was thought that this was the Chernobyl debacle with what happened there. But later on, it was talked about that perhaps that wasn't the case. I'm not an end-time teacher, but I can certainly not manipulate the scriptures, but use an application of what the scripture is saying. He said that the rivers became bitter, the waters became bitter, and men died because of bitterness. And if you look up the word bitterness, you know what it means? It means bitterness, anger, strife, discontentment. And men can die because of bitterness. And here's what I want you to see. That word waters. The waters were made bitter. Hydor, water. Of waters in rivers, in fountains, in pools. Of water of the deluge. Of water in any of the earth's repositories. Of water as a primary element out of and through which the world that was before the deluge arose and was compacted, of the waves of the sea figuratively, it can mean used of many peoples. Think of what Revelations 19 and 6 says. And I heard, as it were, the voice of great multitude and the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. If there's ever a time that the faces, the water, the faces of the body of Christ should be crying the praises to this world, it's in these times when people have become so distraught and so bitter about what's going on in this world. Remember that way back in the first chapter of Genesis, it was God who moved upon the face of the waters. The same spirit that moved upon holy men of old as they put the scriptures together. It's the same spirit that moves on you and I. And we have to be careful, because the fountains of water that it talks about here are the supplying of water, of blood, of even happiness. And so bitterness can cause for the supplier who washed us in his blood and filled us with his spirit to be cut off from us. And men can die because of bitterness. It's a love issue. And we can't let the agendas of what's going on in Egypt affect what God has commissioned for his church to do. Because right now, out in Egypt, there are people that are waiting for a word to be delivered unto them, showing them which way to go, to usher in peace, to usher in something firm to stand on in a world that is spiraling. Would you stand with me tonight? I love the Word of God. And I can simply stand before you tonight as a testimony and say, the Word of God changes hearts and it changes minds. Because it was the Word of God that changed me. I remember, Pastor Schumacher, when I got the revelation of the oneness of God, I was sitting in the library at the Sheboygan Falls Church, and Pastor Kylie was teaching a lesson on the oneness of God. And when the scripture was spoken that the Word was made flesh, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then the Word was made flesh, it's like, ding, I saw it. And I just blurted out, I said, if that's the truth, then Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. He said, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm a privileged man to see that truth. And you are a privileged people to see that truth. But it doesn't end here. There's someone else living way below what the Lord wants them to live at, simply waiting for the word. Because here's what I have to share with you, and you remember this when you share this truth. Pastor Kylie taught it to me. A Holy Ghost-filled man of God. But it was God who gave me the revelation. He opened my mind to see it. But why? Because it was the truth. It was the unadulterated word of God that was brought forth, and then the Lord did his part and gave the revelation.
Thank you, Brother Bear. Some 40 years ago, I ordered a magic wand. I thought, man, that should help me. I could just wave it over people, and then they would just automatically want to come into the church. And then I could wave it over the sick, and they could automatically be healed. And then people who were having marital problems, I could wave it over them, and then they would just, they'd love each other again. Didn't show up. But what I realized is that I do have a magic wand. You see, the Bible says that his word will not return unto you void. And I've talked to people about God, and it just didn't faze them. But then I gave them scripture, and all of a sudden it arrested their attention. I showed people who were sick beyond cure scriptures in James 5, and they were healed. I went to 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and showed couples why they should stay together and what the Word of God says, and all of a sudden, miracles happened. It wasn't because I was so eloquent. It was that the Word of God brought light to them. It was the Word of God that did it. It was the Word of God that changed them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So somehow, when the word of God went forth, it separated the light from the darkness. And it happens every time we open up our magic wand and give the word of God to somebody else. It takes them out of darkness and brings them into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. So instead of trying to persuade people, if I can just teach the word of God, I see them change because it's the way God has ordained for us to do it. Thank you, Brother Bear. Amen. Glory to God. The altar is open. Would you come?